Shalom Aleichem. We have a double parsha, Tazriu Mitzora, and accordingly we'll do three Divrei Torah from each. We are going to start out basically at the beginning of Parshas Tazria, and it talks about when a woman gives birth, there is a time of Tuma right after she gives birth. And the Pasuk says as follows, we're in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis, V'yalda Zachar V'tama Shivas Yamim, when it comes to a baby boy, if it's a baby boy that she gives birth to, she is going to have 7 days of Tuma, and if she gives birth to a baby girl, it's going to be 2 weeks. And our question here is, what's this concept of Tuma in general, and why does it apply to a woman who gives birth? And then also, we'll hopefully use that as a springboard to answer, why is the Tuma twice as much for a baby girl relative to a baby boy? So what's the concept of Tuma? So the concept is that when there is Kedusha and the Kedusha leaves, it creates a vacuum and in enters the Tuma. So it's the absence of Kedusha. When you had Kedusha and it leaves, then we have Tuma. It's similar to, explains the Kutzke Rebbe, when somebody was alive and he has a neshama and tremendous level of Kedusha, and when that neshama departs, that's the leaving of the Kedusha, that is when we have Tumas Hames, the extreme strong level of Tuma of the body left when the Kedusha has already left. So in fact, we have a close connection, or it's the same exact concept, to a woman who gives birth. Then Chazal tell us that the mafteach, the key to birth, is held directly by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He does not use a shaliach, a messenger, in his stead. Rather, directly, there's a pasuk that tells us, Vayiftach Elokim es Rachma, that it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself that opened up her womb. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is the enabler to have children. And accordingly, what it turns out is that when we had a woman who is about to give birth, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu there is assisting. He's the key to having that baby be born. And thereafter, once that baby is born, we have that Kedusha leave of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in comes Tuma. And that's why there's a Tuma on that woman, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is no longer accompanying her directly in that way to facilitate the giving birth. There's an interesting explanation based on this. Why is the Tuma, when she gives birth to a baby boy, 7 days, and when she gives birth to a baby girl, 2 weeks? What's the difference? Why is there more Tuma for a woman? So accordingly, I heard this many years ago from Rabbi Frand, a beautiful explanation. He says that when a woman gives birth to a boy, wonderful. There's Kedusha, and she's on a high level, but after she gives birth and the boy comes out, she's no longer a creator right then. She has achieved her goal, and that is a high level of Kedusha, and a baby boy is born, and now that she's no longer about to be a creator, there's a Tuma that comes in, and that's 7 days for a baby boy. When a woman gives birth to a baby girl who is another potential creator, we have a creator creating a creator, the Kedusha is so much higher, and accordingly, after the birth, the Tuma is that much more. So that's why it is 14 days for giving birth to a baby girl as opposed to a baby boy. We are now moving on to our second Dvar Torah. We are in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav. It says as follows, Tavi Keves Ben Shnatola Olah Uben Yonah Tola Chatas. When a woman, after she gives birth, she has to bring some korbanos. When it's after giving birth to a baby boy, it's 40 days later. After a baby girl, it's 80 days later. And the Pasuk is telling us that she actually brings not just one korban. There are two korbanos in this Pasuk. One is an ola, a korban ola, and one is a chatas. And we have two related questions. Number one is, why does a woman who gives birth have to bring a korban? And number two, why specifically a korban ola and a korban chata? So what we need to hark back to is the sin of Chava at the way beginning of the Chumash, who was seduced and induced by a nachash, by a snake, to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. And once she sinned, that massive failing, one of the curses, the curse that she had was Be'etzev Tel Dibanim, when you, starting with Chava, when you give birth to children, it will be with pangs and sorrow and pain. And that's the klavah that continued from Chava through to all women till this time. And accordingly, when it comes to a yoledes, a woman who gives birth, Chazal tell us that it could be that when she's in the pain of the pangs of giving birth, she could make various commitments, make a shvua, make an oath. She's not going to go back to her husband. I'm not going to want to have kids again, whatever it may be. And then accordingly, she has to bring karbanos because that was the sinful shvua. But in fact, it's not only on that, says the Shem Yishmor, that a woman who gives birth is required to bring these karbanas, but rather it is acting, when a woman who gives birth brings karbanas, it acts as a kapara for the original sin that Chava committed, and because she was the cause of all the pain for future women. So it's a kapara, future women have pain, and they're bringing these karbanas in the future, they act as kaparas, as a repentance for the original sin of Chava having eaten from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. And in fact, accordingly, we have to look at what was the sin of Chava originally to understand why a woman in the future, in order to act as a kapara for Chava's sin, why is it both an ola and a chatas that are brought? So in fact, if we look back at the psukim, when Chava was being enticed by the snake to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he made certain claims. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to eat from the Eitz Hadas because he doesn't want you to become a great person. He doesn't want competition. The Nachash was a lot of lies that were coming forth. And in fact, the woman Chava bought into it. Vatera Aisha, she said, okay, maybe there's validity. She said, there is validity to this claim. So she sinned b'machshava. Her thoughts were sinful because she agreed with the claims, the terrible claims that the Nachash was making. So Vatera Yisha, I'm in agreement. I'm on board with this on a hashkafach, on a mental, emotional level. And also, she sinned not only mentally, but actually, in act, b'maisa as well, because she actually went and ate from the Eitz Hadas. The Pasuk says, Vatikach Yisha, she acted upon it. So it wasn't only a sin in machshava, in thought, but it was also a sin indeed in Maisa as well. And accordingly, we are going to explain now why, says the Sam Yishmuel, a woman has to bring both an Ola and a Chatas accordingly, because a Korban Ola is primarily brought on sinful thoughts. And accordingly, when a woman brings a Korban Ola, when she gives birth to act as a kapara for the sin of Chava, she's bringing that Korban Ola to act as a kapara on the thoughts, on the sinful thoughts that Chava had originally when following the beliefs of the Nachash, of the snake. And also, it wasn't only a sin in thoughts, but it was a sin in deeds as well. And accordingly, the woman has to bring not only an Ola for the thoughts, but the deeds is a Korban Chatas. A Korban Chatas is brought when somebody does a sinful act, and that is meant to act as a kapara for the sinful act that originally done by Chava. So there we have it, an explanation why when a woman gives birth, she's acting as a kapara for the original sin of Chava in eating and following the beliefs of the snake and eating of the Eitz Hadas Tovara, and the Korban Ola, which is mechaper on sinful thoughts, is acting as a repentance to Chava's sinful thoughts, and the chatas that is brought, which is a kapara on acts, on deeds, that is being brought by the woman to be mechaper on the act of Chava's act from eating from the Eitz Hadas. We are now moving on to number 3. We are in Perek Yugimel, Pasuk Gimel, and the Pasuk says when somebody has a nega, when somebody has a tzara'as affliction, the ra'ah ha-kohen is a nega. It's not for the person to decide, am I a mitzora or am I not a mitzora, am I afflicted or not, but rather he has to go to the kohen to see the nega. And there's a mishnah in the tractate of Negaim that says to us that kol ha-negaim adam roeh, any type of nega that you can look, if you're a mumcha, if you're an expert, you can look at yourself. However, not if it is your own nega, meaning if you are an expert and you can look at the nega of somebody else, that would be one thing. But even if the person is a Kohen, but he cannot look at his own affliction and decide if he is a mitzvah or not, and he also cannot look at the negaim of a relative. And the reason is as follows, because when it comes to a person being introspective about himself. For example, he's trying to, wants to investigate his character traits. It's very difficult for a person to judge himself. He has negias, he has self-interest, and it's very difficult for a person to see what he lacks, character traits, personality traits, etc. A person typically can easily miss the merits that he has in his own personality. But when it comes to seeing the chasronas, what somebody else is lacking, that's pretty easy to see. However, sometimes when it comes to family members, also we are we're jaded, we have self-interest, and may not be able to see the defects in close family members. Sometimes we see it too much. So accordingly, the pasuk is telling us, "Vara koin es anega." You have to go to the kohen. That's what the Mishnah is explaining to us. Don't think that you're going to be able to be honest and make a proper judgment when it comes to your having an affliction, a nega. You really have to go to an honest third party, an objective third party that is going to make the decision whether this is really tsaras and what type of tsaras or not. We are now moving to Parshas Metzora. In Parshas Metzora, we have three Divrei Torah. We are starting off in Perek Yudalid Pasuk Tes, and we're talking about as part of the Metzora's purification process. So the Pasuk tells us that he has Yigalach as Kol Se'aro. He has to shave off all of the hair of three areas in the body. Yes, Rosho, on his head. The hair on his head has to be shaven off. Etzekano, his beard. The facial hair has to be shaven off, and also the eyebrows have to be taken off. And the Kli Yakar explains to us as follows, that there are three primary sins that the Negayim, these afflictions, Taras, will come for. Three primary sins that somebody will receive the afflictions discussed in the Parshiyos, the Taras. And they are as follows, says the Kli Yakar, Gasus HaRuach. Gasus HaRuach means arrogance. Somebody is arrogant, just on top of the world. Just into himself. That's number one. Number two is Lashon Hara, speaking negatively about others. That's number two reason why these Negayim come. And number three, Tsarus Ha'ayin, which means stinginess, negativity, looking at others and really putting them down, being negative, not being a warm, friendly, kind person, but just the opposite. And accordingly, it's the Metzora has to, when he receives these Negayim, he has to be sure to be Metaher himself from these three sins. Again, the Gasus HaRuach, arrogance, Lashon Hara, speaking Lashon Hara, and being Tzar Sa'ayin, a Tzar Ha'ayin, somebody who's stingy, negative. So, accordingly, to be Metaher himself from these three areas, this is represented by the three different areas that the hair is shaved off. And we'll start with the first. We said that the first area that is shaved off is from the head. The head represents arrogance. Somebody who wants to be in control of everything. Somebody who wants to be the guy. I'm better than others. I'm going to be able to complete tasks better than everyone. I should be the ringleader. I should be in charge. Arrogance. So shave the head off. The head represents arrogance. That's number one. Number two is the beard. So we said that the second sin is Lashon Hara. And here we're talking about the beard that is around the mouth and it should be there to guard the mouth. And the fact is the person spoke Lashon Hara. So this is a symbol. This represents the failure of that beard to protect the mouth from speaking Lashon Hara. So it is shaved off as well. This is a Tahara process to fix the Lashon Hara. And number three, sin that somebody has an affliction is tsaras ayin, a tsar ayin, somebody who's stingy. Somebody looks negatively at others, and that's why the eyebrows are shaven off. We have a tahara, we are mitaher, for that sin of tsar ha'ayin, because it was, again, those eyebrows that did not guard those eyes from looking around and with negativity, with really a slant and evil, looking at other people with really a negative air. So there we have it again, the three reasons, the three areas that are shaven off represent to be metakin, to fix the three different reasons that Negayim come, and they are again, the Gasus HaRuach, somebody who's arrogant, somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, and somebody who has a view of stinginess. Next, we are moving to Vort number 2, Parshas Metzora. We are in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud Beis, and we are talking now about the purification process and the offerings that are brought by somebody who is a Metzora. It says as follows, L'kacha Kohen et HaKeves HaEchad V'Yikrivosa LaHashem. You're going to take one of the Korbanas, the lamb, and you're going to be Makrivit. The Kohen is Makrivit as a Korban Hashem. The Korban Hashem comes for different reasons, but one of the primary, if not the primary reason, is it becomes for Me'ila Bakodesh, which means the most evident example would be if somebody takes something that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash and uses it for his personal use. The concept here of Me'ila is profaning the holy. That was something that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash and somebody took it for his personal use. That is profaning the holy. That is called Me'ila, Me'ila B'Kodesh. And accordingly, a Metzora has to bring a Korban Hashem, explains the Sforno, because his sins are also Me'ila B'Kodesh. His sins are also profaning the holy. It's a profaning HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's an attack of the against the Shechina itself, as we'll see, says the Sforno. The two major sins that we're talking about here, similar to what we just said in the prior word, is Lashon Hara and Gasus HaRuach. Lashon Hara, speaking negatively about others, and arrogance. And when somebody engages in both of these or either of these, one or the other, indeed, that is a frontal attack and Me'ila, profaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol. And it goes as follows. When somebody speaks Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara is not said in front of the victim who is being spoken about. It's talked about in private. You tell Lashon Hara to a person, not in front of the victim. And that is the concept of Lashon Hara, is when somebody does a sin privately. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Kol ha'over avera b'seiser ki'ilu dochek ragele ashchina. Chazal tell us that anyone who, it's a different Chazal actually, anyone who does an avera in private is as if he's hitting the legs, hitting the legs of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah doesn't have legs. But what he's saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's going on. I'm doing this B'Seser, I'm hiding this, no one knows about this sin. And he's saying, effectively, I'm not scared of God. I'm scared of other people knowing about this, people knowing about this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like Dochek, it's like Me'ila. It's a frontal attack against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, I'm just worried about people seeing, but not concerned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeing. And that's the same thing when somebody speaks Lashon Hara, not Lashon Hara, sin done in quiet. Sin not in front of the victim is saying, I'm going to do this in a way that is, no one's going to know. He's not going to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to know. And that's why that is a form of Me'ila, profaning the holy, trying to get away with it, saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing this in private. You're not going to know about it. And then the same thing applies when it comes to somebody who has a Gas Ruach, the other sin that the Sforno brings down. We have Lashon Hara and Gas HaRuach, that somebody who's acting in an arrogant way, that Chazal tell us is Dochek Ragli Ashkina, as well as hitting into the Kodesh Baruch, meaning that I'm arrogant. I need a lot of space in this world because my ego is so big. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about such a person that there's not enough room in this world for the two of us. For that size of arrogance, indeed, that is problematic, and that's why that person indeed receives the negayim, receives tzaras, because both of these, again, we are now talking about the two sins of tzaras, lashon hara, gasos haruach, and that's why when somebody engages in one or both of those sins, that is me'ila, that is profaning the holy, because both of them are really dochek ragle hashchina. Now we are moving on to our last vort on Parshas Metzora number 3. We are moving on to the Haftorah of Parshas Metzora. It's in Melachim Beis, and we're in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. And what's going on here, a little bit of background in the Haftorah, Klal Yisrael was being seized by Aram. There was a siege going on. There was a tremendous famine. The Pesukim are very graphic in what was going on in Klal Yisrael, a real disaster. And the pasuk here says that there were four anashim hayu mitzoraim pesach hashar. There were four people. They had tzaras. They were at the gate of the city. And the tzavarei shalal asks as follows: if you look at the language here, there were four mitzoraim. They were four people. They were mitzoraim by the gate of the shar. It should have been worded differently. It should have said there were four people who were mitzoraim. The word mitzoraim is modifying, is the adjective modifying arba anashim. So it should have said, Arba Anashim Mitzorayim, there were four people who were had Tzoras, Hayu Pesach Shear, they were by the gate. So what's going on here that it says Arba Anashim, there were four people, and they were Mitzorayim by the gate. They were Mitzorayim by the gate. So we don't seem to have Mitzorayim modifying Arba Anashim anywhere. What's going on here? So he explains as follows, that Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Sota, that these four people who had Tzaras were Gehazi and his three sons. Who was Gehazi? Gehazi was the assistant, the shamash, the gabbai for Elisha, the great prophet. But Gehazi, unfortunately, was not of the best character. There are various things that are discussed as what he did wrong, very evident in the Psukim. And because of that, Elisha went and cursed him that he's going to be, and they, Gehazi and his children, they're going to be, to have Tzaras, they're going to be Mitzorayim. So Chazal tell us in Gemara and Sanhedrin that one of the things Gehazi did was he pushed the Talmidim away from Elisha. Get away. And in fact, he kept them out of the Beis Medrash, locked the doors of the Beis Medrash so the Talmidim could not come in. That's why he kept the Talmidim away from Elisha. It's a terrible thing. The Talmidim, let them come, let them learn. And accordingly, they didn't come into the Beis Medrash. Only afterward, when Gehazi was effectively fired from his job, did they open up to the Beis Medrash and the Talmidim flooded in. And we see what the travesty was, that Gehazi kept them out. And accordingly, it was a midah keneged midah, Gehazi keeping the Talmidim out of the Beis Medrash, and here that he became a mitzora, and the pasuk says that they were waiting outside the city. And the midah keneged midah, the measure for measure, is that just like Gehazi, he locked the doors of the Beis Medrash so the Talmidim could not come in, so too he himself and his children were forced to stay outside the city, by the gate, by the door of the city, without permission to come in because they were Mitzorayim. And accordingly, based on that, the Pasuk is read as follows, Arba Anashim Hayu Mitzorayim. Indeed, there were four people who were Mitzorayim. And why were they Mitzorayim? Because, and it's explaining why they had Tzaras, because of the Pesach HaShaar, because they, Gehazi in particular, locked the gate, locked the door of the Beis Medrash, and it was because of that sin that they were inflicted with Tzaras. So indeed, the Pasuk is explaining the situation. It's not Arba Anashim Hayu Mitzorayim Pesach Shaar. It's not out of order at all. It's simply explaining we have four people, and they are Mitzorayim. Why are they Mitzorayim? Because of the sin that they committed of Pesach HaShaar by locking the doors of the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, not letting the students in. They accordingly were made Mitzorayim also and were forced to wait outside the city. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.